Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sheila Shoiga, and welcome to Ready to Be Real Conversations, the podcast series where I chat to people of all walks of life. Some names you'll recognise, others you might not, but my hope is that these conversations will at times inspire, challenge, educate, comfort, or simply entertain you. Last week, I released the first part of my sleep podcast with health scientist and sleep consultant Tom Coleman, in which he explained why sleep is so important and what happens when we sleep. And today, in part two, he answers your questions.
The proper alarm to have is what I call the reverse snooze button. Instead of hitting your snooze button, like set an alarm to go to bed. Set an alarm to initiate your hour routine of, okay, an hour before I need to start unwinding here. And then into bed, and then it takes you half an hour or whatever. So, like, you should be setting alarms for that. Because if you do that correctly, then the morning will look after itself. You will wake up feeling pretty good.
Tom is married to Jenny, and their son Kai is nearly two. And he's worked with professional athletes and elite teams on improving their sleep and nutrition for many years now. In this conversation, he covers a wide range of questions to help us get better sleep. So, Tom, I put it up on Instagram yesterday that I was going to be talking to you, and I asked people to send in their questions. And as I imagined it would be, the phone pretty much exploded with questions about sleep. I've only written down a handful of them, okay, because I couldn't write them all down. I would have been there for about 5 hours. And I've kind of divvied them up into categories because there were a lot of similar themes. So I had a lot of questions on people who were anxious. They found that their mind was racing, that they were waking up. I mean, you've already answered in one way or another, but we go through that. Mm-hmm. Also, a lot of questions about shift workers or frontline workers that are working those bizarre hours and in very difficult situations. Mm-hmm. So, and I know that's an area of particular interest and expertise of yours. So I'm really looking forward to getting into that. Dreams, nightmares, tech, habits, routines, people asking about supplements, whether they're good, should be used or not, menopause, perimenopause, and then the various different sleep disorders, things like sleep apnea, teeth grinding, sleepwalking and talking, snoring. There's tons, right? So I don't know. Let's see how we go.
Yeah, we'll see how we go. We'll rifle through them.
Absolutely. Back to the anxiety, mind racing, waking up type questions.
Right.
Somebody asked, any tips for an anxiety sufferer who wakes at night? I have no problem falling asleep as I'm so tired, but I wake up in the middle of the night and I struggle to get back to sleep as my mind is racing.
Yeah. Great question. And, you know, I couldn't tell you how common this is. So you're not alone. And I want you to remember what I said earlier on. A lot of the sleep pressure has been lifted because you've repaid the sleep debt. It's natural that you will wake up. But what we tend to do is, and again, it depends on the type of person you are. You know, you can wake up again and go, oh my God, I'm awake again. And you get stressed out about it. Or you can just go, I'm awake. Actually, you know what? That's fine. That's natural. It's going to happen. And don't put pressure on yourself to get back to sleep. We've all been there where you're going, I have to sleep. You know, you're almost better saying, I'm going to try and stay awake as long as I can.
I love this. If I only could have shifted my perspective back in the day when I woke, because I was the person going, why am I not sleeping? Why? Da, 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 and I'd be beating myself up over it. But if you can shift the perspective into a bit more of a laid back, hey, it's all cool.
It's grand.
I'm meant to be awake right now.
Yeah, this is fine. I mean, I just roll with it. Know, people that look at their phones and go, it's 3 o'clock. Oh, my God.
Why am I awake?
You can look at the phone and go, oh, my God, I've got 4 more hours in bed. Yay. So, and like, I'm going to tell you, the biggest barrier I come across in, not just in sleep, but in areas of health is the script, the narrative, the first thing that comes going, oh God, I can't do that. I'm awake again. I can't sleep. It always happens to me. You know, you're kind of nearly reinforcing it like that.
You are, yeah.
Know that it's natural. Know that your mind will seek out problems at 3 o'clock in the morning that it can't really solve. That's going to happen. That's fine. What I'd like you to do is, and I didn't really cover this, but what I'd like you to do is build a really lovely routine, 20 minutes, half an hour before you go to bed or fall asleep, or even while you're in bed. So you get your, make it a ritual, right? So your bedroom is cool, clean, organized. Try and get the clutter out. Clutter causes background stress. Okay. Mm-hmm. You imagine what would be a haven for sleep. And you create that in your bedroom. Use your oils, use whatever you want. And then, you know, very dark, get into bed, get your eye mask, do your little routine, and then find a meditation, a podcast, music. You know, there's so much out there.
I'm visualizing you now, Tom, with the eye mask on.
Doing the...
And the oils and your... Do you use an eye mask yourself?
I do, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I've no problem saying that at all. Yeah, absolutely.
In all seriousness,
of all the things that I give advice on, some things will take you weeks to change. Right. The eye mask is instant.
Okay.
It's instantaneous. And the first night you wear it, you'll see an improvement. So, you know, 5 or 10 euros for an eye mask. And
you don't have to spend big bucks on it.
No, they're cheap. Go to your local pharmacy. Remember, it's called an eye mask, not a blindfold. Don't go into your chemist looking for a blindfold.
Yet another little insight there, folks. Jenny will be delighted with this podcast.
Yeah, the partners will be looking at each other. Yeah, so there we go. Yeah. Remember the eye mask. And even earplugs. Some people, the noise. So you're cutting out the sensory stimulus.
So that's a good thing.
For some people, we live in the country and we've all these lovely crows that get up at 4:30 in the morning and start, you know, shouting. So, yeah, soft foam earplugs. So you have your little ritual, right? And ritualise it.
And you're right, like things like essential oils, like your lavenders, they kind of also, whether people believe in the properties of them, it's almost like you're sending those signals to your brain. Yeah. It is time for sleep. Yeah,
it's cueing control. I think that's what it's called in psychology, cueing control.
Yeah.
When I do this, I get a response, right? When I do this, this happens. Mm. Now, you have to remember you can train yourself to sleep. The US military train all their new recruits. Every one of them, they trained them. And this guy said at one of my talks, he said, I tried the technique. It didn't work. I said, well, how long did you try it for? He said, I tried it once. It's 6 weeks. You have to get into your head that, yes, I can train myself to fall asleep. So you build that ritual, that routine, 20 minutes.
And you have to stick with it.
And stick with it every night. And you know what? It'll start working. And you go, do you know what? This is great. I can do it. Then you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you initiate the ritual.
Can I just ask about the eye mask thing again? So for the person that's waking up, does that help then when they wake up that they're in darkness? Do you know what I mean? Will it help send the signal, go back?
Well, it will, because and I feel as though it's got the physical attribute of cutting out any background light, but it's got the psychological attribute of going, all right, this is part of the ritual again, so it's part of, you know, so if it's come off or if it's whatever, they can just put it back on, reposition it and get into that thing. The anxiety and the worry and the overthinking, you want to give your brain some chewing gum. So that can be a podcast, a music, or a body scan technique where you're working through your body, you're relaxing. Mm. So, don't lie there and allow your brain to start going, Christ, what did she say to me today now?
Yeah.
Or start thinking, do you know what? I'm in big trouble here with my career or whatever, you know, whatever we worry about.
And as you said already during this conversation, even if you were to just take it back to the simple and essential exercise that we all do every moment of every day, which is our breath.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, if it does happen that I do wake up, my quickest way back into sleep for me is to just slow the breathing down, bring the awareness to it and just breathe.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, 100%. That's, I couldn't agree more with you. The breath,
yeah,
because we shallow breathe and we do all different types of things, and you know, the breath is what connects all the systems. What, you know, deactivates some of those stress responses.
Yeah, because when you're in that fight or flight, you're usually in that kind of shallow breath.
Shallow,
you're breathing
breath,
up,
yeah,
in your throat sometimes, not even in your chest,
yeah,
but you want to bring it down and slow it down. Okay, and just know, I suppose, because, as I said, we got a myriad of these questions. Like, I'm very anxious, can't sleep, please help. I have a racing mind, can't switch off. How best to get back to sleep in the middle of the night? How do I get back to sleep? You know what I mean? So many questions. Just know that you are certainly not alone. It's extremely common. And the waking up at the 3 or the 4...
Yeah, it's a natural part of your...
Yeah. Okay, as I said, a lot of questions from shift workers.
Yeah.
And our frontline workers. Okay, I'm a guard. What's the best way for me to get into a sleep routine after working nights? So for those listening, you know, for people who are shift workers, they usually spend a few days or nights on different patterns and they switch again.
That's so right.
That's difficult because it's not continuous.
Yeah, I think the rotating patterns are difficult. There are so many different patterns. 2-2-3, DuPont, Pittman, there's any amount of them. I know, as far as I'm aware, I mean, if the guard is on a core, if he's a core, their shift pattern has changed recently to a 12, it went from an 8-hour to a 12-hour, so they have two days, two nights, three days off, and that's their routine. You know, it's crucial what you do on your days off for the shift workers. You have to get into the rhythm over the course of that particular pattern it's over a week. Okay, so you're it's moving ahead every one day a week. The guard will know what I'm talking about if he's listening.
Okay.
So the best way after night. So what happens is you come home after your second night. So I know you do two nights. So you go to bed, I'm guessing, at 7 or 8 o'clock. Remember the sleep blocks. Sleep for 3 hours or 4.5 hours. So ideally, bed at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12:30. Get up at 12:30. Stay awake all day. Do your normal routine during the day, don't nap, fall asleep then at night, wait until you feel tired to go to bed. You'll have no problem sleeping after the first night, after the night shift, because you'll be tired and you'd only have had 4.5 hours sleep. Then fall asleep, and what will tend to happen is you'll tend to wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning, and then you do the exercise I told you. So we have to try and sort of train our circadian the rhythm in that sense. So that would be the advice. There's three ways that you can do it. You can actually hold off on your night shift and not sleep and try and get straight back into the next, because what you're doing is you're always looking ahead for the next shift. And your next shift will be the day shift 3 days after, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to try and shift your circadian rhythm. And typically what happens is actually they may not have a problem sleeping the first night, but the second night they do, they wake up, okay?
Makes me feel that us who can go to bed at regular hours,
yeah,
wake up, we're such a very lucky luxury.
It is really a privilege. But yeah, look, the night shift workers sleep for 3 hours, 4.5 hours, get up, stay awake for as long as possible, really, and then go to bed, and you'll have no problem sleeping. You know, if you do wake up, enact the kind of routine.
And you're legends, basically. And thank you for doing the work that you do, because it's so important. Okay, another one here. I'm a nurse, and since COVID-19 came to Ireland, my sleep is completely different. I'm exhausted when I hit the pillow, but I find that my sleep is poor and I feel on edge and tired all the time.
It's that kind of anticipatory anxiety is what we call it. You know, if you're stressed out, you're going to have sleep issues.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, again, for the research I was involved in, I think more than 70% of people who are stressed out reported sleep issues every night. So it's almost finding how you can unwind and relax in a healthy way.
Yeah.
You know, and deal with those kind of, because I can imagine it's traumatic. And trauma is, you know, it's hugely important that we deal with the trauma in our lives, because otherwise it will just, you know, it's a really big disruptor of sleep, and especially for that person, that I can kind of feel their pain,
yeah,
you know, because you're putting yourself into that situation every day as a nurse, you're into that front line, so
and what they've had to do, what they've had to witness,
mind all those other areas of your life, and know that, you know, you can change the sleep habit. It's all, you know, what you can do is look after all of the physical attributes I've spoken about, and, you know, try and eat well during that shift and fuel well. Avoid the coffee, the high octane food, the high fat, high sugar food, the light. Control the light when you leave your shift. Control the light. Wear sunglasses into the car and drive home. And then give time to unwind. Give time to unwind the brain and the body before you crash. Because what sounds like it's happening is he's just crashing, and then he's waking up 3 hours later in a kind of, you know, in a stressed out or whatever, kind of overstimulated.
As you said as well, finding healthy ways to unwind, because oftentimes after a difficult day or a difficult shift or whatever it is, a lot of people turn to a glass of wine or a pint, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it is the knock-on effect of that.
Yeah. As the quantity goes up, the quality of sleep goes down. So just to be mindful of that.
Okay, this question here is, I wake up a few times a night to check on my son, who's a toddler, and I go to the toilet. I always go back to sleep, but is my disrupted sleep a problem?
Okay, that's a good question. I mean, many people wake up and have to go to the toilet at night, and I would much prefer you to be hydrated and go to the toilet rather than be dehydrated and not go to the toilet. I think the Irish Heart Foundation advise on this, you know, to stay hydrated. We know that the highest incidence of heart attack and stroke, not to frighten you or anything like that, it happens between 6 a.m. and 12 p.m. between 6 and 12, essentially in the morning.
All right.
Because the blood is thicker if you're dehydrated. And your blood pressure actually spikes at 6 a.m. And this is from research from Professor Russell Foster in the UK, who I was on a panel with. The going to the bathroom is fine. Let's talk about the impact that has on sleep. Very little, because your body's going to wake up naturally at the end of a sleep cycle. You're going to wake up, you're going to go to the bathroom, you're going to come back, and likelihood is you're going to go bang straight back into sleep.
So that's very reassuring then for this person.
Yeah, it is. I don't really a problem at all, you know, so it's fine.
Do men have to go to the toilet more often in the night than women?
I don't know, Sheila. That's a good question.
My experience, it feels like I remember, I suppose the only thing I could compare it to is when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
I used to have to get up and go to the toilet, something I never have to do. Mm. I don't have to do now.
Yeah.
But the only time I had to do it was when I was pregnant. I went, jeepers, I have to get up. Because I felt like, obviously, your bladder towards the end of your pregnancy is the size of a pea. But it's never something I do. Thankfully, I'm usually the kind of person that barely remembers their night's sleep. I'm conked and I'm gone until the morning.
Great.
I wasn't always that way, as I said, but I am now. Yeah. I certainly am at the moment. But yeah, the getting up to use the toilet, whether you're male or female, not an issue.
Not really an issue. Not an issue.
That's really reassuring. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on to dreaming, nightmares, night terrors, all that kind of stuff, right? This question here. Since the pandemic, my dreams have been crazy. What's going on?
Okay, this is a phenomenon known as pandemic dreaming. It is a real thing. There are about seven studies going on at the moment globally around pandemic dreaming. So what's happening is this. There's a few things happening. Number one, anticipatory anxiety. We don't know the outcome. When we don't know the outcome, our brain is then sort of on alert and is kind of grasping. The second thing is, we haven't got the normal amount of input from meeting other people and going into work and traveling. We're at home, and so the input is a lot less. So your brain is kind of struggling to deal with that. The other thing is, your normal stressors are probably, they may be slightly different. So your brain is struggling to process that. Okay. The other thing is the virus. It's an unseen. So what tends to happen is their brain then will look for symbols to represent a virus and represent that. So people are having all of these crazy dreams and it's completely normal again. It's nothing to worry about. Very vivid, very, you know, out there as such. But don't worry about it. It's absolutely fine. Now, that's very different to night terrors or nightmares. That's a different thing.
So night terrors are a different thing, and it leads me to the question that was sent in to us as well. This was actually sent to me directly, and it's this. My husband is 62 and he suffered from night terrors all his life. He goes through phases of on and off. He wakes up very frightened around 2 a.m. thinking something has gone very wrong, either a car accident, bad things happening, hanging off a cliff, things like that. And he wakes me up to get me out of danger. I have to turn on the lights and reassure him that all is okay. He is absolutely wrecked the following day, and so am I. What's going on here?
Yeah, my heart goes out to him. A lot of people have, you know, told me about night terrors, and it just put the hairs up in the back of your neck, how real it is for them, because they feel it's exceptionally real. I mean, I've had people saying, like, there's people in the room, there's the ceiling cracks open and spiders come out and all kinds of things, like, you know, horrendous, horrific things, and very real for those people. Scientists don't know what causes it. They know what makes it worse, and they know how to maybe make it a little bit better. So let's talk about that. Obviously, if you're stress, alcohol, those things tend to increase the amount, the incidence of night terrors. How can you improve it? Obviously, reduce those things if you can, the stress being a big one, and do what's called a sleep reset. So what I'd like you to do is figure out how long it takes you to fall asleep. Okay, now most of us kind of know that generally. I'm talking about generally here. So if it takes me 20 minutes to fall asleep, I will set an alarm for 25 or 30 minutes. Okay, so 5 or 10 minutes into my sleep, the alarm will go off and I will wake up. And then you go to sleep as normal. And we know that this reduces the incidence of night terrors by about 50%.
Wow.
So that will help him. So do this little sleep reset every night.
Like a strange thing to do in a way, like, you know, you're trying to get into sleep, but you're making yourself wake up.
You're making yourself
wake
up.
But obviously the research is there.
The research is there. I mean, polysomnography is that thing where you see all the wires coming out of the...
Yeah.
And they're measuring brainwave activity. They're measuring all kinds of non-REM, REM sleep, all kinds of things. And you know, they don't even know the mechanism of how that works or why that works, but they know it does work. So...
And will you drift off to sleep again, not a bother?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's enough sleep pressure there, you see.
Right. So enough just to wake you up, mm-hmm. a few minutes.
Yeah. Even once you wake up yourself, you go, oh, right, I'm awake. And, you know,
you won't be drinking.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You know, it should help. So please try that.
Are night terrors ever linked to maybe unresolved issues in a person's waking life?
Yeah, I think again, going
possibly.
Back to traumas,
okay.
Like people who have night terrors, sometimes they're developed with people who have post-traumatic stress. So, you know,
okay.
Yeah.
They've been through something perhaps. So your heart would just go out to her and her husband, to be honest, because he's going through it. But bless him, he, like a lot of men do, they want to be the fixer, the protector, the defender. He, you know, she says he tries to wake me up to protect me, to mind me.
Yeah.
And then she's worried about him and she's not getting the decent night's sleep either. So hopefully if they try this method, it may benefit.
Please try the method. I mentioned the sensitivity. We generally fall asleep better on our non-dominant side and our left side. And the reason for that is because if somebody comes into the cave to try and take away my partner, I can protect them with my strong hand. Isn't that amazing that we're so sensitive? We fall asleep on this side and we can protect with that. And even the layout of your bedroom is the door. Where's the door in your bedroom? You know, all that kind of stuff. Like, that's how sensitive we are to sleep and threats and everything.
And one of my favourite books that I read years ago was Why Women Can't Read Maps and Why Men Don't Listen, written by a couple who are psychologists, whatever, and they kind of talk about genetic memory and how now they're taking a heterosexual man and a heterosexual woman, because there obviously are, like all things, you know, exceptions to the rule, but that oftentimes in terms of our position in the bed where we sleep, the man will almost automatically be sleeping on the side closest to the door, so that if there was, as you just mentioned, a threat, that he would be the first up to protect his partner, his family.
Yes.
It is that hunter-gatherer thing.
Oh, it is.
It's interesting, isn't it?
We're wired. You wouldn't believe how sensitive we are wired to that. The other thing to mention, I forgot to mention this, is important. Medication. Some people who take different medication, that can cause an increase in night terrors as well.
Yeah, okay. So check the side effects. I mean, talk to your GP about it.
Yeah, speak to your GP about it. I know a certain vivid dreaming and all that kind of stuff. Incidence and prevalence increase with certain medications.
And speaking of medications, there are those who are on medication to sleep. Mm. And there is no judgment. Some people need it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people get into the habit of using it, and it's like a crutch they can't let go of. Thoughts on that?
I would say strict medical supervision in terms of research on it. CBTIs, cognitive behavioural therapy for insomnia, has been shown to be just as effective. Placebos have been shown to be just as effective.
Mm-hmm.
We know that certain medications for sleep inhibit other functions, and they actually, you don't go as deep in the deeper phases if you're taking certain sleeping tablets, essentially.
Okay, interesting.
So I'd
so
love
even though
for
you
people,
think you might be getting a great all-night sleep.
You think you might be. I'd love for people to look at, I mean, it's like anything, if you look after all the other areas of your life, if you look after all that, if you're doing fairly well, I mean, no one's talking about perfect adherence or anything like that, but the sleep will look after itself.
Yeah.
Do you know, you know yourself, you're making better choices around food, exercise, all those things tie in, and you can see the relationships now between food and sleep and exercise and, you know, stress and coffee and overthinking and work. They're all related to, they can all impact sleep.
Yeah. Before I move on to another question.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The position in the bed is one I'd like to ask about, because you mentioned about, you know, the dominant side, the left and right. Sure. Is there an optimal position for us to sleep in?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, we should be sleeping on both sides. We should alternate on both sides. So why should we alternate on both sides? I mentioned to you that the brain cleans itself of plaque. It flushes itself out with cerebral fluid. So water increases, and the channels in our brain, if I'm sleeping this side, it flushes itself out, and then I switch over to that side, it also flushes that side out. So that's actually important for the flushing of the brain, which is incredible. Your brain has build-up of toxins. This is amazing. If we look at a map of the human body and we see your lymphatic system, all your lymph nodes, your glands, and you see a map of that, that's part of your circulatory system. And that your lymphatic system cleans out your blood, right?
Mm.
It doesn't extend to the brain.
Okay.
But that's why your brain needs to clean itself at night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the sleep position, ideally, left side and right side, both. And, you know, the fetal position is great for putting you to sleep as well.
Mm.
I know people might not notice this, but if you actually put yourself into the fetal position, it's a good way of initiating sleep.
Mm.
So though all the positions, the stomach, some people sleep in their stomach, not great for the neck. Whatever position you sleep in, the best would be side or back.
Let's move on to another question here.
Yep.
And we had a lot in about tech.
What
to use, can I use, should I use? So is it a good idea to listen to calming music, podcast or guided meditation before going to bed? And I suppose on the flip side of that question, there is the issue of, like, should the phone be in the room at all?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think I speak all the time to organisations and companies and people around this, and I've asked them for years, I've asked the question, who brings their phone into the bedroom? And I'd say 95% or more of hands go up, and we do. It's how we use it. you know, that the issue is the light, number one, and the stimulating, you know, those little beeps that go off and they send, you know, we get dopamine. So how are you using your phone? Why are you bringing it into the bedroom? The barriers. Well, I'd say to you is the music, the podcast, the meditation, all good. All good. You find what works for you and you go with it. Turn off the notifications. There's a setting in the devices, brightness and display settings, that cuts out the blue LED light. We have very specific receptors in our eyes for blue LED light that tell us to wake up. So if you're looking at the phone at night, you could be telling your brain to wake up.
I'm so glad you mentioned this, because not alone is it good in terms of sleep, it's also good in terms of our skin and everything. And we're, you know, when you can actually, I don't know why phone companies don't have it on as standard that apply it. So I didn't have it on. Yeah. I didn't have it on for ages until, I don't know, maybe about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
No, maybe not even that long ago.
Yeah.
That somebody told me about it.
Yeah.
Oh, jeepers, let me check the phone. And I didn't have it on.
Yeah.
So it's very easy. So go into your settings.
Yeah.
Make sure it's on.
Make
so
sure
therefore,
it's on.
It'll help with the sleep, but it's also, you're not exposing your skin to unnecessary
exactly. I mean, look,
rays as well.
There's a reason they call it beauty sleep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cellular regeneration.
Yeah.
If you're sleep deprived, sleep deprivation acts as an accelerant for aging.
Yeah.
Boom, there we go. So look after your sleep for beauty reasons.
And as you already mentioned, it's the inevitable thing. When you're tired in the day, what do? You're reaching for those sugary snacks or those salty snacks to give you a bit of a lift. You usually, you know, consume more calories then because you're just exhausted and your body is craving something.
Yeah.
Or it's craving sleep.
We know why.
To make it up in different ways.
Yeah, and probably greater in elevation. You don't know why the craving is happening.
Yeah.
So like with the phones, fine. All those things work really well, but the light and the don't be checking your messages. Again, you know, this is a process. Same as changing anything in your life, whether it be your food. You're not going to, we've all done it, or you've cleared out the press or you've done whatever.
Yeah, you go hell for leather on it, but
you
can't sustain it then.
Yeah, you can't. Gradual.
Gradual.
Yeah.
Would he recommend, this is another question, would he recommend an alarm that wakes you up slowly in the morning? I've heard people talk about them, but I'm not sure whether to invest in it. So these are the alarms. I've heard people talk about these as well. They have a light on them that, you know, you give it the time, the approximate time that you want to wake up. And then it's talking about what you spoke about already, about the light naturally sending a signal to your brain to wake up.
The sunrise. Because I'm fine with that. I am fine with that. No problem at all. If you think that will help you, then go for it. Now, you must try and remember that it should be in tune with your sleep cycles.
Okay.
Okay. So naturally, towards the end of your sleep cycle, you will be in a lighter phase anyway. So your dream phase. So that's fine. Yeah, that works well, as long as it's kind of in tune with your sleep cycles.
I suppose the dream scenario would be you go to bed at a certain time and you wake up at your own pace, at your own time. But unfortunately, with busy lives and work and kids, that's not always the way. Most of us get woken up by an alarm, an alarm on your phone or a child running into the room, you know. So we're being woken up unnaturally.
I'd say, you know, the alarm, the proper alarm to have is what I call the reverse snooze button. Instead of hitting your snooze button, like set an alarm to go to bed. Set an alarm to initiate your hour routine of, okay, an hour before I need to start unwinding here. And then into bed, and then it takes you half an hour or whatever. So, like, you should be setting alarms for that. Because if you do that correctly, then the morning will look after itself. You will wake up feeling pretty good.
Brilliant point, because I find that it's one thing heading upstairs to go to bed, and I think a lot of people who, you know, might wear a bit of makeup and like their, you know, to remove their makeup at night. I mean, my nighttime ritual can take a bit of time before I'm even in the bed.
Well, do you know what? That's a good point. And taking the makeup off and cleaning the face will actually help sleep, believe it or not.
Okay.
Washing the face will help sleep.
Very good.
Yeah. So whether
we're male or female, whether we wear makeup or not, washing the face is good. Then
wash
good
the one. Face. Okay. Yeah, that will actually help sleep.
You would think the opposite. You're waking yourself up.
Yeah, but no, cleaning the face, brushing the teeth, that will help sleep.
Oh, okay, brilliant. How do I improve time spent in the REM stage? My smartwatch is reporting not enough time spent on the stage. So this is the light stage of sleep, rapid eye movement.
Yeah.
And it's the whole other issue of the smartwatches and apps. I've heard you speak about this before, and I know that you believe that for some people it's good, others maybe not so good.
Again, depends on the kind of personality type. The efficacy of the devices and the measurement tools, you know, how sure are we that they are giving you valid and accurate and repeatable information? We're not awfully sure. Even the tech, you know, even some of these companies that I've worked with have said, look, you know, they can give you a degree of accuracy. So I don't want you to get hung up on it because, you know, it may not be very accurate. The gold standard is polysomnography. We're actually hardwired, you're wired to a machine. And I've worked with technology that's sort of 96% accurate against that. But I couldn't say otherwise. So don't worry about it. Look after all the other stuff I spoke about, and that'll look after itself. You cannot coax your brain into getting more REM sleep or otherwise, you know, outside of disruptions. So your brain will look after itself. Don't worry about that.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Because I think a lot of people probably, it just adds more anxiety onto it. If they wake in the morning, check the app, and it's not maybe delivering the sleep that they thought they had.
If you're a type A personality, you're most likely going to have disruptions, and those kind of things are not great for those type of people who are like, I need to hit that target.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's like somebody who's feeling really good in themselves and puts on an outfit and feels fantastic, and maybe they've been doing a bit of, say, weight training, and they've added a bit of weight, but they're looking better in their clothes because they've, you know, they're going down in inches. Next thing, they hop up in the scales, and the scale says it's gone up. What happens to their mood? It goes down, and they start feeling bad about themselves, whereas actually they've done brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it depends on the person, which is a really good one. All of these things, and like, it's probably a thread in all of these conversations on this podcast series, which is about getting to know yourself better. And once you can tune into you and you know your own, what your own routines are, your own triggers, you can improve your life.
Yeah, and keep an open mind.
Keep an open mind. For sure, Tom. Okay, habits, routines. Again, loads of questions on this. Let's just take one here. Is getting 8 hours sleep from an early time, say around 10 o'clock, is that more efficient than getting it? So they're saying basically getting your 8 hours sleep from 10 a.m. is it more efficient than getting it from, say, 2 a.m.? That's a really good question.
Yeah, because you get this like kind of thing of like, and again, it goes back to the Irish, I know it's an Irish thing, an hour before 12 is worth two after or whatever, you know. Again, this comes down to the light. Okay, because like scientists have measured different blocks. So we have sometimes your phase of sleep can shift. And I just mentioned this briefly. So teenagers, anyone teenagers, right? You know the problem is getting them to go to sleep, getting them to go to bed. They want to stay up all night, right?
And they don't want to get up in the morning.
That's called a phasal shift. As adults, as we age, we become worse at sleep. The mechanisms are not as good, and our phasal shift goes the other way. We tend to fall asleep earlier and wake up earlier, right? So be mindful of that. Now, there's no difference between getting good quality sleep as long as the light or other physical factors don't interfere. So there's no real issue with it before, you know, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock. If you fall asleep at 2 a.m., likelihood is, you know, you may be awoken by nature or sounds or people or light or those other things. So that as long as those are okay, then it's fine.
Okay. And what about the hours of the night? Are there certain hours that are linked to, you know, certain sleep repairs? Are there certain hours that
absolutely.
We ideally should be sleep? I know obviously for shift workers, that's not always a possibility.
It's going to be modulating. It's going to be changing. Like, say, we look at the organs in the system. So your gut bacteria have their own circadian rhythm. So at night, what happens is certain bacteria die away and other bacteria multiply and proliferate and clean up your digestive system while you're sleeping. And then in the morning when you go and you eat again, you're much better able to break down, utilize and absorb vitamins and minerals. So that's one reason why your gut bacteria is really important. Your serotonin that I've mentioned, so crucial for sleep, 90% of that is actually produced in your gut.
Okay.
So, you know, there are certain times during the day and night, all of this ties in, are all interlinked together. So, and again, the repair is happening during the first two deep phases of sleep.
And are there key hours that experts say, ideally, as humans, we should be asleep during these hours?
Yeah, I mean, we should. I mean, the reason midnight is called midnight, it should be the middle of the night, you know. You know, we should be obeying the natural cycles of the planet, the day. I mean, the French scientists went into a cave for 2 weeks to see if light was the only trigger. Because we know it's very important to see, well, what happens to the brain and the body if we've no signal from light and dark. So French scientists went into a cave for 2 weeks, complete darkness, and operated with night vision goggles or whatever else, and recorded how long they slept. And they found that their body naturally went into a pattern of about 8 hours, slightly more. And the full rhythm was 24 hours and 10 minutes. And so why was it 10 minutes? Why was that a little bit over 24 hours? Because that is actually the rotation of the, it's the leap year, it's the extra.
Wow.
So that's how sensitive we are.
That's fascinating.
You know, so it is really fascinating. So yeah, No, we're very sensitive. So again, like you said, get in tune with your body, take away the stimulants, the sedatives, Do the right things during the day.
Okay, loads of other questions on that, but I think that was a good one to answer. Let's move on to this one, supplements.
Yep.
I've heard that certain supplements can help you sleep. Magnesium, calcium, herbal tinctures, melatonin. Can your expert recommend and talk about this, please? So this person is clearly into it.
Yeah, clearly. So the so vitamin D, I would say maybe I would recommend.
Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Mary Ryan, I think is it? Is that?
Yes.
Yes. So love, big fan of Dr. Mary Ryan. So I know
she's fabulous.
She's brilliant, brilliant. Well, she recommends vitamin D, and I would definitely recommend vitamin D as well.
We don't really get enough of it here, do we?
Don't really, and some people need more. If you take vitamin D, take it in the morning. Okay, important. Take it in the morning, not in the evening. So take vitamin D in the morning and take.
It's energizing, is it?
It kind of acts like a hormone in the body, so it can bring you up a bit. So take vitamin D3 in the morning and then in the evening, magnesium is mentioned there. Some people find magnesium. It helps with parasympathetic, the parasympathetic system, and it helps with nerve impulse and heart rate. And that's where the calcium, magnesium, I probably go with magnesium. Sometimes they come together. Talk to your doctor about taking calcium.
I take them together in a supplement, and I have to say I like it. It suits me, I think it helps.
Yeah, I do. It is. It's all those little things. The herbal tinctures. Yeah, sure, go for it. I mean, if you feel it works for you, then go as recommended. Melatonin is not a supplement. Melatonin has to be prescribed. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. I've never heard. It was interesting when I saw this because I was like melatonin. I've never seen it sold as a supplement. But I was thinking maybe I don't know.
No, it's not. It's you can get precursors to melatonin.
Okay.
But melatonin is something that has to be prescribed. Now you can actually, you know, in the US, in Spain, in other countries, you can actually buy it, over the counter. You know.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not. But in Ireland, it must be prescribed. Really positive feedback from melatonin in terms of treating things like sleep apnea, and some people find it works very well, because some people may not be producing enough melatonin.
Yeah.
So again, but look, that, I'm not a doctor, and that's up to you to speak to your GP about. If you feel as though it would help you, talk to your doctor. And again, look at, you know, he will talk about interactions with other medication. So yeah
okay, brilliant. Restless legs, and I've put in brackets here just for myself, I got about 8 questions on this, so let's answer this if we can. I suffer from restless legs at night. Can I do anything to help with this? And I remember actually when I was pregnant, it was one of the things I had, and it's so annoying.
So again, the magnesium actually will help with this, because it helps helps relax. It helps relax nerve impulse. It works in the nervous system. So definitely, I think definitely try the magnesium.
And would like salts, like your Epsom salts, your magnesium kind of rich salts, things like that. Yeah,
absolutely. The bath salts would be good.
Yeah.
I would definitely say if you can warm it up and stretch it again, that should help.
And then there's other kind of creams and lotions you can use that might assist a little bit, but
The magnesium and the other bits and the stretching and all that will help, and avoidance of the stimulants and the alcohol and stuff like that.
Yeah, brilliant. And probably a lot of it as well is down to hydration, is it?
Is really, really important.
Okay, again, a lot of questions on menopause and perimenopause and the impact these stages of a woman's life can have on your sleep. I'm at the menopause stage of life and my sleep is rubbish. Any tips?
Yeah, my heart goes out to all the perimenopausal and menopausal women. It's something that I get asked a lot about, because you know you will have a lot of disruption, and that's really down to sex hormones, that kind of change. So progesterone is the primary one. So progesterone levels really, really drop off. Now progesterone has a role in sleep.
Okay.
And that's a big part of the reason why you have sleep disruption. Estrogen and progesterone, right? Women experience what we call vasomotor symptoms. So you have difficulty with the thermostat, essentially, and you get hot flushes and night sweats and cold chills. You get all this kind of stuff. It's crazy, and I really feel sorry for him. So there's like a couple of different things you can do. One avenue may be HRT, but then that's something to speak to your doctor about, hormone replacement therapy. It may not be suitable for all people. The other things you can do outside of that are, certain foods, they contain phytoestrogens. Okay, so people say, I don't want to increase estrogen levels. That's fine, you won't, because it's a plant estrogen. Phyto means plant, so phytoestrogen. So things like linseed, I know I recommended linseed, I think, to you before.
Yeah,
so,
you did.
Linseed and soy products. So people think again that soy causes an increase. It doesn't. The phytoestrogens bind to estrogen receptors in your body, and you get the benefit without the estrogen. So that will really help with sleep.
Yeah.
So go for foods that were, and then actually talking about nutrition as well and melatonin. There is a dose of melatonin in a handful of cherries or pistachio nuts. In clinical trials, work very well. So for the menopausal women, the phytoestrogens in the soy, in the linseed, will help. Avoid alcohol, spicy food, your bedroom at night. Keep it cool. Keep your, keep the clothes that you can take them off or whatever. Keep light clothes, not heavy.
Sure.
Clothes like that, and have a little fan maybe beside that you can turn on as well. That might help.
It's interesting you mentioned the cherries, because I was actually thinking when you were speaking about melatonin earlier that I've seen that in the health shop where there's like a tincture or a drink that you can take that. It does link to improved sleep.
Yeah.
So whatever the ingredient is in the cherries, the type of cherries.
Yeah, tyrosine, 5-HTP, there's a lot of different, compounds that influence sleep. Tryptophan is an amino acid, one of the amino acids. So tryptophan is a precursor to melatonin.
Yeah.
So foods that are high in tryptophan, that's why you feel sleepy when you have your little snack before going to bed. So all the tryptophan is in grains and lean proteins and things like pumpkin seeds and sweet potatoes and bananas. All those things are milk.
Yeah.
All those things have compounds which aid sleep.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. So, yeah. And there's so much stuff on the market, I suppose. But as you said already, you got to check with your doctor. You got to check, make sure there's no contradictions in terms of what you're taking, what your own conditions are. But look, do your research. Ask
your
questions.
Yeah.
There might be something in it for you. Okay. Last few questions here are the more specific ones. This is the kind of sleep disorders.
Yeah.
So my husband suffers from sleep apnea, and I find I worry about him. So my sleep then is very broken.
Mm-hmm.
Any advice here for him and for me? I suppose there's no quick answer with this one.
Well, sleep apnea is something that you need to go and speak to a doctor about. That's absolutely, it's absolutely essential. If people snore, I mean, they're probably, it can be an indicator of sleep apnea. It's not always an indicator of sleep apnea, but if people have episodes where basically they stop breathing,
It's frightening.
And it's very frightening. And they can, depending on the amount of incidence and the severity, it can have a detrimental effect on your health. So if you have sleep apnea, go and speak to a doctor. Get assessed. You need to get properly assessed for the sleep apnea. And then you may have a regulator and apparatus that you put on at night. You may not have to. There may be other things that you can do. I know that melatonin has been associated with a really positive impact on sleep apnea. So people maybe don't go because they think, oh, I don't want those machines or whatever. But please get it checked out. The other things, all the other things mentioned here, the teeth grinding, the speaking, the talking, all that kind of stuff, and all other things that people might do, including sleepwalking, those are known as parasomnias, and they kind of your body just kind of takes off and starts doing kind of strange things at night, wake people up if they're walking around.
And usually it's the person that's experienced it doesn't have a notion that they're doing apparently grind my teeth occasionally.
Yeah.
I have no recollection of it at all.
No.
Sometimes, and I haven't done it in a long time now, thankfully, but sometimes I've woken up feeling a bit tight in my jaw.
Yeah.
And then himself has told me, you were grinding your teeth last night. So, and I'm not aware of it.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, is it anxiety or am I dreaming? Why? What is that? What's it about? It's interesting.
Yeah, no, it is very interesting. And again, scientists are kind of struggling to figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
Because only in the last sort of 20 or 30 years, really, have we started to really discover what's happening in sleep. Some areas of our brain are more active when we're asleep than they are when we're awake.
Okay.
There's a hell of a lot going on.
Yeah, there is. What can we do to, I mean, is it difficult to prevent these things if they're happening
again,
to you?
Again, it really is about looking after all the other areas.
Yeah.
You know, and then
so basically, you got to do the work.
Yeah.
And not just like the guy did for you, I did it once and it didn't work.
Yeah.
You got to do it consistently for a period of about 6 weeks.
Yeah, consistent. Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose, look, in the times we're in right now, why don't you make your sleep a priority? If you're listening and you're one of the people who either got in touch with me or you're listening to this because you were drawn to listen to this podcast, you know, why don't you adapt some positive changes? See, there might be a bit of work in the beginning because like all things, creating new habits, it does take a bit of effort and it does take the repetition of it, which in the beginning is difficult. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. Yeah. And it might just transform not just your night, but your daytime as well.
That's the big thing. You can change your habit, you know, have confidence in that.
Tom, I've loved this. I know the time has absolutely flown and we actually only got to answer a handful of the questions that came through. But I do think we focused in on as many of the topics. And I hope those listening have got something beneficial out of it. I certainly have taken, again, an awful lot from our conversation. For those listening who want to hear more from you, get in touch with you, see what you're about, how do they get in touch with you?
I suppose the easiest way, Instagram, tomcoleman.ie. Go on there, give me a follow, throw a few questions at me, no problem. If I have the time, I will certainly come back to you.
And again, what I love about you, Tom, is you can talk about the sleep, but we covered so much more in this conversation because of your knowledge in nutrition, in fitness, in the clients you've worked with for years and years. You're bringing all that to the table, and this was probably a richer conversation than I even thought it was going to be. And I was excited about this one because I left you a gazillion voice notes. I had so many questions. So I really hope those of you listening have got something really good out of it. I know I have. So thanks, Tom.
Thank you for having me, Sheila.
I really hope you enjoyed these sleep podcasts. And if you want to contact Tom directly, you'll find him on Instagram at tomcoleman.ie. And if you like this podcast series, please share it with friends and family and leave a rate and review on Apple and subscribe on the other podcast platforms, as it really does help to spread word about these conversations. Thank you so much for listening. And if you want to see what I'm about, you'll find me on readytoberealreal.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.